Breezy 101. It is the breakfast show on your radio with the Eurythmics and Philip Phillips with Gone, 8:31 on your Wednesday, Cinco de Mayo, joined by a guest right now, Jason White, the Speaker Pro Tip of the Mississippi House of Representatives and District 48. Jason, thanks for coming on this morning. It's finally not raining or storming.
It's finally not raining or storming.
Yeah, so we're able to get in here, and nobody had to risk their life to come in this morning, but we do appreciate you for coming on. And legislative session's been over for about a month now, so what was that like for y'all this year when it comes to coronavirus and all that, since last year it kind of had a delayed session?
Well, it was still very different, because we're used to when we're in session, the Capitol is a hive of activity. I mean, it's people everywhere, whether it be associations or advocates or taxpayers who are there to watch the process, which can sometimes be an ugly process. But it's people everywhere drawn to the inner workings of your legislative government. And so with COVID, we were still on a somewhat restricted basis as far as the general public being able to get into the Capitol. They were checking temps and no outside visitors, no school groups visiting. And normally, at any given time, you look up in the gallery and you've got a history class or a garden club there to observe, that sort of thing. And it was just eerie being the only people in the Capitol, so to speak. So that was still different, but we were able to be there and not have to suspend business, so to speak.
Yep. And so, we report on a lot of stuff that happens during the legislative process, but, we kind of more focus on some of the things that affect us here in central Mississippi. So can you talk a little bit about maybe some legislation that was passed that will affect us here in Kosciuszko and Atala and Holmes and the surrounding counties?
Yes. There were several things that were, I guess you'd say, near and dear to my heart that I was fighting for, and some of that kind of halfway came to fruition last fall during the what I call the extended COVID session of 2020, late in the fall of 2020, and then this spring in 21, we were finally able to secure funding, $500,000 for the Skipworth Performing Arts Center, the renovation that's going on to the old school auditorium currently underway. So we were able to secure those funds for KFEE in furtherance of that project. So that was something we had worked a long time on, and we're able to get that money. And they actually received their check. When it came in the mail a few weeks ago, Dr. Offer took a picture of it and texted me a picture of the check. So that was pretty cool to finally get that. We were also able this session to secure bond funds of $1 million for a overhaul and renovation of Hugh Ellard Park. City's starting now to kind of begin the process. Now that we know the bill's been signed by the governor and we passed in the legislature, and we know the money's on the way, probably be here in the fall, I think they're beginning to start thinking about planning and maybe getting with an architect or a planner to plan out exactly how they want that renovation to look. We were also able to get $500,000 for renovation of our county courthouse, which is kind of one of our calling cards there in the center of the square, of course, and it needs a lot of work. That lady's, she's old and showing some age. So we were, the county was already doing about $600,000. They got a grant, I believe, through Archives in History or Small Municipalities and Population Grant. Anyway, we were able to enhance that with another $500,000 that I think will go toward restoring all the brickwork there on the Capitol. And then lastly, a thing certainly that my sister hounds me about regular is her pre-K program over at Lower Elementary. As you know, Barksdale got us up and going with that project, if you will. And then once Barksdale Reading gets you up and going, they kind of want you to fly on your own. So that becomes dependent on the taxpayers of City School District to support that. So we were able to continue to get some additional funding, $250,000, to go to offset what we support here locally with our tax dollars, to make that program continue to work as we continue to look for a viable long-term source of funding that. So those are some local infusions of dollars that will go toward what I think are worthy projects that enhance our community and our town and make it a much better place to live.
We're speaking with Jason White, Representative District 48 here in Central Mississippi, Speaker Pro Tip of the House of Representatives. And, one thing that I had kind of, been a little bit interested in was the home delivery of alcohol that got passed. And so a lot of people asked me, Breck, what's that going to be like? Can I get it shipped directly to my house, or what goes into that, and what all, are sort of the guidelines for that?
Well, as you know, the state of Mississippi is, I started to say, heavily involved in the liquor and wine business in Mississippi, but heavily involved when you begin to describe it. The state controls it in every way. And that goes all the way back to days of Prohibition and when we finally you know, came out of that, the state basically ran it and has continued to run it and keep a very tight grip on the regulation and distribution of wine and liquor in this state. And some would say we've done, as a state, a very poor job of getting products out and where they need to be. And another thing that has led to that is liquor licenses and who can sell it and who can't, where you can get it and that sort of thing. You've seen recent pushes for wine in the grocery store or wine at Walmart, and which none of that stuff has yet to pass in the state. But one thing that citizens and taxpayers have continued to clamor for is home delivery of alcohol. Now, you're still not able to order that box of fine wine from California and have it sent directly to your house. But what you can do is go through your local brick and mortar stores, retailers of package stores, if you will, and arrange for them to get products for you, and they can deliver them to your doorstep. Now, how they charge for that and how they do that, that's going to be on an independent basis, but we have freed them up now for home delivery. Should they, just like you can get your pizza delivered, you can now have your liquor and wine delivered to your doorstep. And it's pretty tight about, it's got to be somebody there over 21. You've got to show ID, all the same things that you would do if you were in a retail situation inside a store purchasing it.
Yeah, but yeah, when you talk about the state controlling the liquor and everything, I hear there's some people that maybe want to change that in the future.
There is a big movement
as well.
There, whether we privatize all the way or whether we just get out of the business totally. Now, I don't mind telling you, the state makes a lot of money off of that distribution and sale of liquor, running it through the state warehouse. So we've had every proposal from just privatize and let private company come in and bid on the management of the different phases of distribution and warehousing of liquor into the state, to the point of getting all the way out of it, no holds barred, Wild West type deal, and the state just continue to tax it and get out of it altogether. So, and several pieces of legislation moved in the legislature this year, and none, the Senate kind of had one path to changing it, and the House had a different one, and we were never able to get on the same page. But I think you'll see this coming year, I think you'll finally see something done that enhances delivery and availability for taxpayers and citizens. And it is ironic. My first year in the legislature, you couldn't even get a representative or senator to be willing to take a vote on wine and liquor on the floor. The House would all of a sudden get vacant, and lots of guys would just be in the bathroom or down the hall in a meeting when a vote came up. And now we vote on them on a regular basis,
yeah,
and it doesn't
deal.
Seem to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, now maybe it's medical marijuana that everybody kind of...
I was going to say, once that passed statewide with 72% of the vote, it kind of, you know, broke the ice, if you will.
Yeah, so medical marijuana is where everybody kind of goes off to the bathroom now. But Jason White, District 48 representative here from Central Mississippi and the Speaker Pro Temp of the Mississippi House of Representatives. That's all I had this morning. Is anything else that you wanted to mention before we have to wrap up the show this morning?
Well, I would say a lot of folks are asking me about the medical marijuana thing. As you know, the city of Madison filed a lawsuit claiming that ballot initiative was not done properly and that there's a flaw in the system. So they've argued their cases to the justices of the Supreme Court of Mississippi, and we are waiting on their verdict that will decide the fate of that medical marijuana ballot initiative and how we get move forward with that. I would also tout our income tax phase out that we talked about this year. We were able to pass in the House. We weren't able to get it across the finish line in the Senate, and we will continue to work diligently on that in the future.
All right. Well, Jason, we appreciate you for coming on. We've been trying to have you on for a while. You're busy. I'm busy. We're both busy. But we're finally able to make it happen. Thanks for being on this morning.
Appreciate the opportunity.